All right, so we'll say good morning.
I don't want to interrupt breakfast, but we're going to learn a little bit. Just, I want to wish Mazel Tov to Hal and Vicky Kane on the birth of... Oh, no, I'm sorry. This looks like a bris. Really, Yishkoach to Hal on the beautiful, beautiful breakfast. This the breakfast is dedicated in memory of Hal's father, Moshe ben Yosef HaKohen, and we hope that in the merit of our Talmud Torah and in the merit of all the brachas that are being recited to, that his neshama should have an aliyah.
Amen.
All right, so we're going to pick up today's daf is Chav Tes. We're going to pick up at the Mishnah on the bottom of Chav Ches Amud Beis. Says the Mishnah, Shloshim Achim, if there are three brothers, Shnayim Mehen Nesuin Shtei Achayos, two of them are married to two sisters, O Isha Obita, or two of them are married to two women, who again, let's say one is married to the mother, one is married to the daughter. So just again, for illustration purposes, Reuven, Shimon, Shmash, come on, you can sit down. Reuven, Shimon, Levi. So Reuven and Shimon, again, let's say are married to two sisters. Or Reuven and Shimon are married to, one is married to the mother, one is married to the daughter. O Isha Ubita, O Isha Basbita, one is married to a mother, and the other is married to the granddaughter. O Isha Basbina, or one is married to the mother, and one is married to the daughter of the daughter. Hari Elu Chotos Levisalmas. So I'm also in the common denominator in all of these cases is that the two women whom Reuven and Shimon are married to are ervos to one another. So now Reuven and Shimon die, both of these women fall for chalitza before Levi. So what's the halacha? Now obviously Levi can't go ahead and do yibum with these women, even though again they're falling from two different marriages, because they're ervos to one another and therefore he cannot marry them. But so what does he do? So the Mishnah paskins, he does chalitza and not yibum. Reb Shimon Poter. Reb Shimon says that the halacha is in such a case where one of the women are an erva, meaning again, they're not an erva to the yavam, they're an erva to one another. In that case, Reb Shimon says there is nothing to do. There's no, of course, there's no yibum, but only there's no yibum, there's also no obligation for chalitza. So that what happens again, so we'll say in the case number one is that both of the women who fell for Yibum to Levi, neither of them is an erva to Levi. They're just ervos to one another. In case number two, however, again, in case number two, so let's say one of the women is an actual erva to Levi. So what's the halacha? Asur ba umutar ba'achos. Rabbi says, remember, we had this case before. So let's play this out. Reuven and Shimon, simple case. Not a simple case. Reuven and Shimon are married to two women. Let's say it happens to be Reuven is married to Levi's daughter. Reuven married his niece. Reuven and Shimon die. So now, obviously, again, Reuven's wife, Shimon's wife, fall to Levi for Yibum. Levi obviously can't do Yibum with his daughter. But remember, again, when a woman is in Erva, she is not in the parsha of Yibum at all. And therefore, what? She in no way disqualifies the other woman who's involved. So therefore, again, Reuven's wife is out of the picture, and Levi is able to go ahead and do Yibum with Shimon's wife. Isra mitzvah o isra kiddusha. If a woman is prohibited, remember we had these terms already many times before, of isra mitzvah or isra kiddusha, these refer to women, again, who are either asura because of shnios or some other dirabanan. The halach is choletzes v'cholzos v'lo misyavmos. These women do chalitza and not yibum. Says the Gemara Tanya, Reb Shimon Poter, b'shtem in achalitza min yibum. So remember again, going back to case number one in the Mishnah, so case number one was Reuven and Shimon are married to two sisters. And what happens? What happens? Reuven and Shimon die. Both of the women fall to Levi for Yibum. So the first opinion of the Mishnah said, Tana Kama said, that's what? That you have to go ahead and do Chalitza. Reb Shimon says, no, not only can you not do Yibum, there's no din of Chalitza either. Says the Gemara, why not? Shene'emar v'isha al achosa lo sikach litzrar, because the Torah says, a woman and her sister, you shall not take litzrar to form a bond. B'sha'a shena'asu tzaros zulazu, whenever these women would become co-wives to one another, lo yehei lecha likuchin afilu ba'achas mehen. There is no likuchin, there is no semblance of marriage, or in this case, some semblance of yibum, even with one of them. So we'll say, Reb Shimon darshins a gzeres akosav. And the gzeres akosav essentially says that whenever you have such a situation where you're going to have two women who are ervos to one another fall to a yibum situation, effectively there is no yibum or no chalitza. And Abbas say, you should know, we don't paskin like Reb Shimon. The Rambam and the Shulchan Aruch paskin like the Tanakama, which means that in any situation where two brothers die, and both of their wives fall to a third brother, for Yibum, and let's say those two women are sisters, or those two women are somehow related to one another, the halach is Yibum obviously cannot happen, but we do mandate Chalitza in such a case. Ha'isa'achas mehen. So remember again, the Mishnah said that if one of them was an Isra Erva, so the Gemara says, Ha'su'lamali, ha'inu'ach. So both say, this is the same case as we said before, meaning this is the case over here where Lamaisa, one of the women is an Erva. One of the women is an Erva. Tanakama would say, you still do Chalitza. Reb Shimon says, there's no obligation for anything. To which the Gemara says, Reb Shimon, it's Terech. You need to correct Reb Shimon. Why? Saka deitcha amina, hoav am Reb Shimon, shtei achayos lechotzos velomis yavmos. Ligzar mishum bezachayos da alma kamash malon no. So we'll say, interestingly enough, the Gemara says like this, that in this case over here, you might have thought that even according to Reb Shimon, halacha lamaisa, you would go ahead and not have to do anything because this would be comparable to the case of the two sisters. Kamash malon no. Kamash malon, this case is reckoned differently. And in this case over here, remember, where only one of the women is an erva. So again, remember, when one of the women is an erva, she is disqualified from the entire yibum mechanism. And therefore, again, halacha lamaisa, he has the ability to go ahead and do yibum with the other wife, with the other woman, the other widow, I should say. So the Gemara goes weiter. Isra mitzvah, top of choftes. Va'amar Reb Shimon. But Reb Shimon said, Shtei achayos lo choltzos v'lo misyavmos. The Rebbe will say, what's the case over? Look at Rashi. Va'amar Reb Shimon, Shtei achayos lo choltzos v'lo misyavmos. So Rashi says, V'hacha amai bai chalitza. Ha'kevan de mid'oraisa chaz yaliyavume zikukahi. V'havaluhu kishar beis achayos shena'asu tzaros zuluzu. Reb Shimon Polter, Achos Sukuka Michalitza. So we'll say, remember again, in this case over here of Isra Mitzvah or Isra Kedusha, so the Mishnah ruled that the other wife does Chalitza and does not do Yibum. So the Gemara asks, I don't understand why this is, because again, remember, based on what Reb Shimon said earlier in the Mishnah, what did Reb Shimon say? That if you have the case of two sisters, remember, these are the two sisters married to the two brothers die, both of these women fall for Yibum before the surviving brother. So what is the halacha? The halacha is they do Chalitza and not Yibum. Why? So therefore the Gemara is asking over here, let's look at that Rashi just once more. Rashi says again, V'hacha amai bai chalitza. So why in the case of the Isra Kedusha or Isra Mitzvah would there be an obligation of chalitza? Ha kevan dimidda oraisa chazi liyavume zekukahi v'havilu kishar beis achayosh nasu tsara zulazu v'rab shimin poter achaz zekuka mechalitza. So we'll say again, essentially what Reb Shimon says is like this. Reb Shimon's logic is that whenever one of the women cannot do chalitza, cannot do yibum or chalitza, and there's another woman who's connected to that woman, the disqualified woman will disqualify the other from doing yibum or chalitza as well. So why don't I say the same thing over here? If one of the women is an Isra Kedusha or Isra Mitzvah, therefore by definition, again, she cannot do yibum, she should disqualify the other wife from doing yibum or chalitza as well. To which the Gemara says, I'll tell you why, gzeira mishum Isra Mitzvah da'alma. There is a concern about a general Isra Mitzvah, that if you allow this woman to get out of this relationship without Yibam or Chalitza, or I should say not really Chalitza, but not really Yibam, but if you allow her to get out without Chalitza, then the concern is, Rabosai, that when you have a normal case of a woman who is an Isra Mitzvah, or a normal case of a woman who is an Isra Kedusha, that's what will end up happening. You'll end up exempting her from the marriage without Chalitza as well. And of course, that's pretty, but also remember, to be clear, the issue over here is that it's one thing to say in the case of where there are co-wives, that the disqualified wife will disqualify the other wife from anything. The issue over here is if you have a standalone Isra Mitzvah or Isra Kedusha wife, she does require Chalitza. If you exempt them over here with nothing, so the Lamaisi may come to do that in a regular case of Isra Kedusha or Isra Mitzvah, to which the Gemara says, Hatenach ihi, that works for the woman herself. Achosa ma'ikala meimar. But what about her sister? Gezeira achosa mishum lasa dida. We're afraid that if we do nothing with the sister, you may come to go ahead and exempt the Isra Kedusha Isra Mitzvah herself without chalitza. Vaha gabe erva lo gazminan. But by erva, we see that we don't make this gzeira. Because remember again, what in the case of the erva, it appears that lamais are willing to exempt the other woman. We're willing to exempt the other woman without anything, and yet there's no concern that you may come to carry that over to another case. Shiny erva, demigmar gemiri la inshe v'kala lesle. Erva is different. Why is Erva different? Because Lamaisa, people know about Erva relationships, and Erva relationships have a cult. So we'll say, what comes out? What's the takeaway from this? So I'd like to give you just a little takeaway. This is not like a hashkafic statement. This is a halachic statement. So again, halach Lamaisa, we passing like the first mando amr in the Mishnah, which means that Rabbi say, whenever you have a situation of a yibum situation where multiple brothers died, and therefore multiple widows fall to the surviving brother, and those widows are ervos to one another. They're sisters, or they're a mother and daughter, or they're a grandmother and a granddaughter. They're ervos to one another. Therefore, by definition, remember, all these sugyas are building on each other. Remember, we pass in yesh zeka. We pass in yesh zeka, which means, that's about saying, that whenever women fall to the yavam, that there is a marital bond that exists between the yavam and those women, even before anything was done. As such, when those two women fall before Yibam, before the brother, he now has a zeka with both of these women. But the problem is what? They're ervos to one another. Therefore, there is no way he could possibly do Yibam with either of them, because to go ahead and do Yibam with either of them would be doing something wrong with the zeka, meaning would be pogim in the zeka. Therefore, again, in any situation where the two widows are ervos to one another, how do we paskin halacha lemaisa? You have to do chalitza. We reject the position of Reb Shimon. Reb Shimon says whenever they're ervos, they're just kicked out of the parsha of Yibam. You don't have to do anything. We reject that notion. You have to do chalitza. That's the halacha from the sugya. Says the Mishnah. Shlosha achin. Three brothers. Shnayim mem nesuin shtei achayos. So two of them are married to two sisters. Ve'echad mufne. It will say echad mufne means one of them is available. Right? He's available. He's a bachelor. He's single.
Smart.
He's single. You're being recorded, by the way.
Oh.
You're being recorded, okay? Good.
Miserable.
Yeah, right. Oh, good. Much better. Right. So that was Hal Kane. That was Hal Kane. Yecheskel Kane. I'm not getting anyone else in this year implicated for statements like that. So what happens? So again, three brothers, two of them married. Two of them married to two sisters, and one of them is single. Mis echad mi bale achayos. So we'll say, watch this. So again, in this case over here, let's play this out. So again, Reuven and Shimon are married to two sisters. Levi is single. Reuven dies. In this case, only Reuven died. So what happens when Reuven dies? His widow falls before Levi. Now, I will say, technically speaking, remember, the widow could fall before any of the brothers. But pepashtos, if Levi is the single one, if Levi's not married, meaning Shimon's already got a wife, so Levi's not married. So the case of the mission over here is where Levi's going to do Yibam. His intent is to do Yibam. So what does he do? He does Ma'amar. Va'asaba mufne Ma'amar. We've spoken about Ma'amar, well, not so extensively, but a little bit extensively. A little bit extensively, okay. He's done Ma'amar. Remember, we saw already, we're going to get into the sugi of Ma'amar over the next couple of dapim. Ma'amar effectively is like Erisin. So how would you affect Ma'amar? He goes over to the widow, to his brother's widow, and he gives her a ring. Hari at mikudeshes liba tabaz zo. Right? You become mikudeshes. Ma'amar. Now remember again, Ma'amar does not affect Yibum. Ma'amar is not really even effective biblically. Ma'amar is just a statement, almost like a statement of intent. So he goes ahead and he does ma'amar. And I will say, now what happens? Before he has a chance to do yibum, what happens? Shimon dies. And I will say, now we have a problem. What's the problem? Now Levi, so remember, Levi was the one who went ahead and on his own volition went ahead and did ma'amar with Reuven's widow. Fine, no problem. But now when Shimon dies, the problem, of course, is that there's another widow. And what's the problem? The problem is she is the sister of the woman with whom Levi did Ma'amar. So what does, so now what do you do in that situation? So Beshamay says, Ishto o imo, v'halazu teitzim shum achos ishto. So Beshamay says it's not a problem. He already did Ma'amar with widow number one. So once he did Ma'amar with widow number one, that's his wife. That's his wife. And therefore, again, when widow number two, the widow of Shimon, falls before him, what's the halacha? She's automatically rejected. She's right. Now, I'll say, what's interesting is Lashon Aver, Teitze Mishum Achos Isha. If you look at Rashi, Teitze, Af Mina Chalitza Mishum Achos Isha. So we'll say, Beshamay Shita is, now actually go back to the previous Rashi, Ishta Oma Imo, Besham says his wife is with him, Demamar Kiknu Sadamya. According to Beis Shammai, it appears that Ma'amar actually affects a real form of marriage. So it's as if what? It's as if Levi is already married to the first widow, the widow of Shimon, and excuse me, the widow of Reuben, so that when Shimon dies and his widow falls before Levi, we view it as if what? We view it as if Levi's already married to the first widow, and therefore there's no way he could do anything with the second widow. Why? Why? Because she is the sister of his quote-unquote wife. Therefore, says Beis Shammai, Teitzei. Teitzei means that he doesn't even have to do chalitza with widow number two because she's precluded from the whole geshept, right? She can't do anything with this because ultimately, again, she is effectively the sister of his wife. Nothing could happen. Beis Hillel says, nope, not true. Beis Hillel says, this is very dramatic. Beis Hillel omrim, motzi es ishto beget ubechalitza. I will say, Beis Shammai says, look, he's got to go. He's got to go ahead, and he has to divorce his first wife. He's got to divorce his first wife. So remember again, because he did ma'amar, so chalitza is not enough with wife number one. He's got to actually give her a get. So he has to give a get to wife number one, to widow number one, and then do chalitza. And what? The eishes achiv bechalitza, and then he has to do chalitza with widow number two as well. Widow number two as well. And the Gemara says, Zoe Sha'amru, this is what the rabbi said when they said, Oilo al Ishto, wote him on his wife, va'oilo al Eishes Achim, and wote him for his brother's wife. So we'll say Beis Hillel takes a very dramatic position, and Beis Hillel says quite literally, essentially what Beis Hillel essentially is saying is what? What Beis Hillel is really saying is, Ma'amar does not affect marriage. Ma'amar does not affect marriage. And therefore it turns out that what? That when brother number two dies, essentially now Levi, the surviving brother, has two widows before him, neither of whom he could go ahead and do Yibam or Chalitza with. Why? Because they're sisters. It's Achos Zikukaso. He can't do anything with either of them because they would be the sister of his Zikuka, and therefore he has no choice but what? But to do Chalitza. But for the first wife, for the first widow to go ahead and do Chalitza, what would that require of him? That would require of him to give her a get and to do chalitza after. So both side fundamental machlokes is Shem Beis Hillel. Now, essentially, what are they arguing about? They're arguing about the effectiveness of ma'amar, or the strength of ma'amar. According to Beis Shammai, ma'amar pretty much affects almost like a legal marriage, to the point that when you do ma'amar with a woman, she is your wife. You've effectively done, you know, quasi-yibum. And as such, if another widow comes along and that second widow is an erva to the first, the second widow doesn't, the whole thing doesn't even get started. She is rejected from the whole yibum framework. Beis Hillel says, no, we'll have to see according to Beis Hillel what ma'amar does or doesn't do. But one thing is clear, which is it doesn't affect marriage. I'm sorry? Oh, because anytime you do ma'amar, you have to give a get. So again, it's not marriage, but it is the initiation of marriage. Again, it's okay. This works perfectly fine. Because it's the initiation of marriage, but it's not strong enough to be able to reject anyone else. So it's strong enough to say we've started a process. To undo that process, you require rabbinically a get. But it's not strong enough to reject any other woman from the Yibum equation. Says the Gemara. Correct, sort of like Erison. Correct. We'll say it's not Ask the Rabbi session. It's Daf Yomi. All right, so says the Gemara. Right? Good. Says the Gemara. This is what happens when we have breakfast, right? Everybody thinks suddenly it's like cocktail hour over here. All right. So says, I'm just kidding. So says the Gemara. No, I'm not. So says the Gemara. Zuhi, lemi utemai. So says the Gemara the following. So remember, interestingly enough, the way the Mishnah ended off is the Mishnah ended off by saying that this is the case in which the rabbi said, woe to him for his wife, that's referring to the woman he did ma'amar with, and woe to him on the wife of his brother. So the Gemara says, when it says Zohi, what is that coming to exclude? Zohi l'me'ute mai, says the Gemara, l'me'ute hach d'Rabbi Yoshua. It comes to exclude the other case of Rabbi Yoshua, d'lo avdinan kava, say eli ikra begamil ikra belazer. So it comes to exclude the other case of Rabbi Yoshua. We'll say, what's the case of Rabbi Yoshua? Look at Rashi. Rashi says over here, the Perek Beis Shammai. So we will see this later on. The Ka'amar Nami Ilo Al Ishto Ilo Al Ishto Ilo Al Ishesachib Upligel Rabban Galia Rogalzo. So we actually had this case quoted before. I'm not going to get too into it now, but this is the case of where a man is married to a kitana, two brothers, married to two sisters. One is married to one was married to a kitana, a minor. Again, let's say her brother or her mother married her off, and the other is married to the adult sister. The one married to the adult sister goes ahead and dies. And what happens? Now the adult sister falls before the surviving brother for Yibum. The problem, of course, is what? That the surviving brother is married to the minor sister. So both say, Rabbi Yoshua comes to go. Rabbi Yoshua says that he has to go ahead and divorce the minor and divorce the older sister. The other rabbanim disagree, and they say that we encourage. Remember, we had this case. We encourage the younger sister to do miyun, which would then retroactively annul the marriage and allow him to do yibum with the older sister. But should the younger sister refuse to do miyun, which nothing we can do about it, we let him remain married to the younger sister. So I'll say the point that Gemara is making over here is that it's in this that we're coming to reject the view of Rabbi Yoshua, that we don't pass like Rabbi Yoshua, that in that case we don't force the husband to go out and divorce his minor wife and do chalitza with the older wife. It's only in this case, again over here, where according to Beis Hillel, we would force him to do chalitza with both women. Amar Rabbi Elazar, lo teima ma'amar al b'shamay kona kinyan gamar. But I said, listen to this. So now, from the Mishnah, what it sounds like over here is the following. It sounds like that according to Beis Shammai, when a surviving brother does ma'amar with his sister-in-law, with the Yavama, it sounds like it affects full marriage, right? That's what it sounds like, because of Haraya, if then lady's second brother dies, and what? And Lemaisa, again, remember, let's say they're married to two sisters, according to Beis Shammai, you don't have to do anything, right? Because he's already married to this first woman, and the second woman, because she is now the sister of his wife, Lemaisa, there's no Yibam, no Chalitza. So it sounds like, according to Beis Shammai, Ma'amar really affects full-fledged marriage. Comes on below and says, no, don't think that Ma'amar, according to Beis Shammai, really affects a full-fledged kinyan. Why? Because remember, the raya for that is, let's say according to Beis Shammai, a man did ma'amar, but then he decided, you know what, I don't want to marry this woman. So what's that look? So if ma'amar is full-fledged marriage, then how would he dissolve the union? Through a get. But the fact that he requires, even according to Beis Shammai, chalitza, meaning, should he decide that he doesn't want to marry the ma'amar wife, it's true, he has to give a get because he's initiated the marital process, but he also has to do chalitza. That shows you that what? That shows you that ma'amar does not affect full-fledged marriage. So then what does ma'amar do? Ela ma'amar le Beis Shammai. I know where the place is. I'm just taking a drink. Wow. Ela ma'amar le Beis Shammai. Ela ma'amar le Beis Shammai. Eino kona ela litchos b'tzara bilvad. Rather, says the Gemara over here, according to Beis Shammai, what does Ma'amar do? Ma'amar does not affect full-fledged marriage. What Ma'amar does do is it will preclude any other woman who is an erva to the one with whom the Yavam did Ma'amar from even entering into the Yibum equations. Here's what's interesting. The Gemara suggests that essentially the strength of Ma'amar is not as much in the bond that it creates between the Yavam and the Yavama, as much as it does what? As much as it excludes any other erva from entering into the marital equation. Very interesting. So the Gemara says, Amrabi Avin, Af Ananami Tanina. The truth is, we already learned this idea. Where did we learn this idea? I will say, if you look at Rashi just says, Ela ma'amar le Beis Shammai in kona el litchos b'tzara, kilomar litchos achosa, shalot ta'asra na'luzum mishum achos ukev. But remember, Rabbi, here's the issue. Remember how this all gets started. If you hold yesh zeka, which means there's a marital bond, some level of marital bond that exists between the Yavam and the Yavama, that means, lemaisa, again, technically you would say that let's say Reuven and Shimon are married to two sisters, Reuven dies, his widow falls before Levi. Shimon dies, his widow falls before Levi. Levi's going to be stuck because now he can't really do anything with either of those women because they're each called Achos Zikukos. They're each a sister of a woman with whom he already has a Zeka. So however, what the Gemara is suggesting is according to Beis Shammai, once Ma'amar occurs with one of those women, then what? That essentially creates a bubble, a halachic bubble between that Yavam and that Yavama, which then effectively does what? Blocks any other erva from coming in there. Now again, it wouldn't block another wife from coming in there. Meaning, I will say, remember, this is only an issue when Reuven and Shimon are married to two sisters, because then again, if the both of them fall to Levi for Yibam, Levi can't do anything with either of them. But if Reuven and Shimon are married to two unrelated women, then the fact that Levi does ma'amar with one does not preclude him from doing Yibam with the other as well. This only comes up in erva. So Beis Shammai says, when you do ma'amar, when Levi does ma'amar with one of the women, that creates a halachic bubble preventing any other erva from entering into the equation and allowing the yibum to go forward with the first widow. So the Gemara says, and what's the proof of this? Afananami tanina, Beis Shammai says you may remain married to them. Ramosa, now this is the case from the beginning of this parak of two sisters married to two brothers. two sisters married to two brothers. And ultimately, again, the halacha is, and in this case over here, the two women fall before two surviving brothers. Remember this? And therefore, again, the halacha was that they should both go out and do chalitza. But if they married them, Beis Shammai says, you may remain married to them. Rashi says, yikaimu, then kid move a konsul b'reish pirkin. So what do you see from here? Yikaimu in, you could remain married to them. But however, lechatchila lo, but you shouldn't do this lechatchila. Rashi says, miyavmu mishum achol siku kasa. Because remember again, lemaisa, because each brother has a zeka with each woman, so therefore you really shouldn't do yibum with either of them, because each woman is achos, is the sister of a woman with whom I have, who is a zekuka. But remember again, achos siku kasa is only the rabbanon. So therefore, lechatchila, you shouldn't do yibum with them. But if you did yibum with them, then lemaisa, again, it works. Ve'i saka daitchot, chav tesim lebeiz. Now here we get to the proof. If you would think that according to Beis Shammai, ma'amar really affects full-fledged marriage, then I'm both saying, again, remember, let's clarify this case. Reuven and Shimon are married to two sisters. And what happens? Reuven and Shimon die, and there are two surviving brothers, Levi and Yehuda. So what Beis Shammai paskin, the truth is both brothers should really do chalitza. Both brothers should do chalitza, because again, remember, both brothers have a connection to both of these women. Therefore, to do yibum with either of them would be in violation of doing yibum with the sister of your zekuka. Therefore, better just to go out and do chalitza. But if you did yibum, let's say each of the brothers married one of the women, so Beis Shammai says, okay, we don't make them divorce. It works. So says the Gemara, if you would really think that according to Beis Shammai, ma'amar really affects full-fledged marriage, then I have a very easy way to deal with this whole thing. Let one brother do ma'amar with one widow. Let another brother do ma'amar with another widow. And effectively what? They'll close out the other widow. It takes away the achos zikukaso issue, to which the Gemara says, elamai. So therefore, what do we see from here? Docha, elamai, docha dechia gimura. Rather, what do we see? That the effectiveness of ma'amar is not as much that it affects a full marital bond between the yavam and the yavama, but rather what? But rather, the effectiveness of ma'amar is that it rejects it or precludes any other woman from entering into this marital union, any other erva from ruining the possibility for yibum. If that's the case, same kasha. So in the case of the two brothers who died married to two sisters, and the two widows fall before the two surviving brothers, again, just let each brother do ma'amar. But ma'amar seems to be the answer to all of our questions. If ma'amar creates this protective bubble around this yavam and this yavama and precludes any other erva from entering in and ruining the possibility for yibum, let each brother do ma'amar, create that bubble around this marital union and prevent the other erva yavama from coming in and ruining it, to which the Gemara says, "Ma'ischal meimar, ma'amar dehetera dachi, the isura lo dachi." Hachanami ma'am. So listen to this, Rabbi. So the Gemara says, "That's what ma'amar doesn't always work. When does ma'amar work? Ma'amar only works in permitted cases. So ma'amar works in a situation where what? Where the union is permitted." But if the union is prohibited, even rabbinically, then ma'amar ma'amar will not create that bubble that will reject another erva woman from entering into the equation. To which the Gemara says, "Hachenami, ma'amar afil leman da'amar, ma'amar afil leman da'amar, ma'amar kone kinyan gamar, ma'amar dehetera kani, di sura lo kani." So you'd have to say over here that even according to the man da'amar who says that ma'amar does have the ability to affect a full kinyan, that would only be when? That would only be in a legal situation. But if ma'amar is being done in a situation where it is illegal, even rabbinically illegal, then it will not affect a full-fledged kinyan. Okay, Ravashi Masniyachi. So we'll say, we're still trying to figure out, according to Beis Shammai, what ma'amar really does. So now, the Gemara is still floating two possibilities. Possibility number one is maybe ma'amar does really affect kinyan gomer. Maybe ma'amar really does affect full-fledged marriage in a case where it's permitted for this yavam to marry this yavama. Possibility number two is that ma'amar does not affect full-fledged marriage. The only thing ma'amar could do is what? Ma'amar could create a protective bubble around this yavam and this yavama that would preclude any other woman who is an erva, so let's say that first wife, from entering into the equation and potentially undermining the yavam's ability to do yibum. So we're still not sure which possibility it is. Ravashi Masniyachi. Ravashi had a different version of the previous discussion. He says, "Amar Rav Elazar lo tima ma'amar le shamay dachi dechia gimura vitzara sachalitza nami lo baya." don't say that according to Beis Shammai, that ultimately, again, that Ma'amar has the ability to go ahead and totally preclude the other woman from coming into the equation, and she wouldn't even require chalitza. Ela docha umishayer. But rather, what does Ma'amar do? If you look at Rashi, Rashi says docha. O samileser eishes bala ma'amar alav umishayo debaya chalitza imbasali nasi achlokines yom es bala samamar. In this version over here, what the Gemara is suggesting is like this: don't say that Ma'amar is so powerful that it will reject the other woman, the second widow, from even coming into the parsha of Yibum. That's not so. Rather, what does Ma'amar do? Ma'amar keeps her at a distance enough so that she won't undermine the Yavam's ability to do Yibum with the current Yavama. But if he, in order to go ahead and fully sever the bond with widow number two, he will still have to do Chalitza. So the Gemara says, "Eladocha Meshayer." So the Gemara says, "Amar Rabbi Avin Afen Anamitanen." We also learn this. Beis Shammai or Mikaimu is quoting again that case from the beginning of the parak of the four brothers, two married to two sisters, two of them die, and the widows fall before the surviving brothers. And again, there we pass that they should both do chalitza, but if they did yibum, they could remain married. Yakaimu in lechat chilala. What do we see from here? That Beis Shammai says it's only ex post facto that if they marry the woman, they could still remain married. But lechat chilala, we'd rather they not do this. These sakatay tchala Beis Shammai docha dichia gimura. And if you say that according to Beis Shammai, Ma'amar literally precludes the second wife. In totality, it would appear to be that the case of any situation where a Yavam is faced with the reality of having gazeka to two women who are an erva to one another, the easiest way to remedy that situation is how? Do Ma'amar with one of the women. Ma'amar then effectively creates the bond with one, creates the bubble around her, rejects the other, and Shalom Yisrael. But the fact we don't say that, so the Gemara says, so again, the fact that we don't say that indicates that, again, Ma'amar, although it creates some level of bubble, does not fully reject the other woman from the Yibum equation. But that which we said, but again, in that case which we said earlier, where Beis Shammai says that his wife remains with him, and this one will have to go ahead and leave because of Achos Ishto. Ella Yivama Dechazi Lekula. So we'll say, look at Rashi for just a moment. Actually, not yet, I'm sorry. Ella Yivama Dechazi Lekula Chazi Lemitzasa. Yivama Delo Chazi Lekula Lo Chazi Lemitzasa. Boaz, I listen to this. Therefore, the Gemara, according to this version, says the following: that any Yivama that has the Chazi Lekula means that has the possibility for Yibam or for Chalitza, therefore, again, will be Chazi Lemitzasa, will have the possibility of Ma'amar working for her. However, Yivama who is not fit for both Yibam and Chalitza, ultimately, again, the Ma'amar will not do anything. Look at Rashi for just a moment. Rashi is Ella. Yevama dechazia, kilomer el liolam docha dechia gimura. So the truth is, we'll say that indeed Ma'amar does in fact go ahead and totally preclude the other wife from doing anything. V'dekashu dechahasam nami litchi lo dami lemasnisin. This is not comparable to the case of the Mishnah. Dehachi dechi nafla va'avad Ma'amar havachazia lekul humili diyevama liyisavin lachlots. Hilchach chazia lemiktasay lemar. So remember again, in the case of the Mishnah, which the Gemara is asking from, in that case, remember, the brothers didn't die at the same time. The brothers died one after the other. So in such a situation like that, when widow number one falls before the Yavam, remember again, he has the ability to go ahead and what? Do either Yibum or Chalitza with her. What the Gemara is suggesting over here is like this. When do we say that Ma'amar works? So Ma'amar works when the Yavam has the ability to either go ahead and do Yibum or Chalitza. When he has the ability to go ahead and literally exercise both options, that's when Ma'amar will be most effective. But if his options vis-a-vis the Yavama are already limited, then what? Then Lemais, again, Ma'amar will not be effective enough to exclude the other woman from the Yibum equation. Okay. Boy Rava. So we'll say now let's analyze this. So now we're gonna get I'll tell you the Rambam at the end of this sugya, but let's go back a little bit. Boy Rava. So Rava asks the following kasha. Ma'amar lebeis Shammai, nisuin osa o erusin osa. So now the Gemara asks, Ma'amar, according to Beis Shammai, does it affect Nisuin or does it affect Erusin? So now what we've essentially established is, What it seems to be established is that according to Beis Shammai, if you have a case where, let's say again, the woman who has fallen before the Yavam is a full-fledged Yavama, meaning that there are no restrictions. He could do Yimur, he could do Chalitza with her. So it appears that according to Beis Shammai, so literally, Ma'amar will affect marriage. The Shaila is, what stage of marriage does it affect? Does it affect Erisin or does it affect Nisuin? To which the Gemara says, Amrli Abai. So Abai says, L'may Hilchasa. So, like, what does it really matter? I mean, because also, remember, the one thing everybody agrees with is, if you did Ma'amar with a woman, in order to dissolve that union, you're going to have to what? You're going to have to give her a get. So when you're asking, and when one other thing we also know, which is, that in order for Yibum to be affected, there must be Bia. So what are you really asking? Meaning, what's the ramification then, if Ma'amar affects Erisin or Nisuin? To which the Gemara says, I'll tell you, Ilei Maliyarsha, maybe you're asking in terms of inheriting her. Let's say she dies. So does the Yavam inherit her? Or let's say again, does her father inherit her? So who inherits her? Uli Tamila. Or again, let's say the Yavam is a Kohen. And she dies. Is he permitted to become Tamei for her? Or Lahafer Nedareha. Or to annul her vows. Who has the power of revocation of vows? So the Gemara says, well, one second. Hashta Arusa Ba'alma. When it comes to a regular Arusa, meaning a woman who just had regular Erusin, Tani Rabbi Chiya, Ishta Arusa. The man did erusin with a woman. Lo onein v'lo matamela. He does not mourn for her. There's no avelus for her. Nor if he's a kohen does he become tummy for her. V'chein he lo onenes v'lo matamis lo. So too she does not observe avelus for him. Now, Bosse, this is interesting. She doesn't become tummy for him. What does that mean? Now, Bosse, what does it mean? She's a bas kohen. She doesn't become tummy. Now, remember, the restrictions of tumah are only on male kohanim, not female kohanim. So Rashi explains that what this is really referring to over here is she has no obligation to be involved in his burial needs. So, right, it's not her problem. If they only had Erosin, it's not her problem. She doesn't have to be involved. Mesa, if she dies, Eino Yarsha, he does not inherit her. Mesu, if he dies, Gova Ksuvasa, she still goes in and collects her Ksuva. So, in the case of real, pure Erosin, we see that essentially they're not fully married. He can't be matami for her. He doesn't inherit her, right? He doesn't inherit her. He doesn't mourn for her. And the reciprocal is true for her as well. So if that's true in a real Erisin case, in Ma'amar is it such a shaila, to which the Gemara says, meaning, of course, also what the Gemara is saying is, if in Erisin he doesn't do these things for her, she doesn't do these things for him. So of course, in a Ma'amar case, the same thing would be true as well. Ve'ela le'in misir l'chupa. Rather, the question is, chupa, my, nisuin osa v'lo bai misir l'chupa, al dima eris and osa bai misir l'chupa. And I will say, the shaila is over here. I'll say, when we get to ksuvas, is ksuvas our next mesechta? Yeah, so when we get, we're going to see, ksuvas, this is wonderful, ksuvas is even more wonderful. So we're going to see, I will say, that the Gemara makes a very cryptic statement. The Gemara says, chupa kona. Chuppah acquires, and there's like a seven-way machlokas as to what chuppah is, right? Is chuppah badekin, what we call badekin today? Is chuppah standing under the chuppah? Is chuppah sheva brachas? Is chuppah yichud? Is chuppah bia? So essentially, again, that's why we do everything at the course, right, over the course of the marital process. So therefore, the Gemara says over here, don't get dressed up or anything. good morning, Akiva. So the Gemara says the following. So the Shaila is, if you did Ma'amar, the question is, do you then need chuppah afterwards or not? That's the question. So does Ma'amar take the place of the entire marital process, or do you still require what we call Masira l'chuppah? Rashi says, V'lo bai Masira l'chuppah, that's wrong, Rashi. Fine, so the Gemara is like this. Amrlei, Hash Rabosei. Now what they're asking is, according to Beis Shammai, that Ma'amar affects this quasi-level of marriage. How much marriage does it actually affect? So do you require a chuppah afterwards, not require a chuppah afterwards? Amrlei, Hashtalo avad ba ma'amar. Now let's analyze this. Let's say he didn't do any ma'amar. Ksiv yavama yavo aleha bal karcha. Moshe, listen to this. We know that technically speaking, yibum could be affected even if the yavam violates the yavama against her will. Gzeras hakosav. So now, if yibum could be affected like that, then is there a question ma'amar miboy? So again, certainly again, I will say. So if yibum could be affected even without the consent of the woman, is it a shaila that do you think that you need chuppah in this process? Of course, you don't need chuppah. Amrle shani omer kala osem maaser biyivimto. parcha mimeno zekas yadmin, v'chala alea zekas erisin mai. So we'll say, listen to this. What the Gemara is really asking is something really fascinating. It's a fascinating chakira. So everyone agrees, if you just go the straight Yibum path, the Yibum path is clear. Yibum is affected how? Bia, that's it. There's nothing else. There's no dating, there's no courtship, there's nothing to get to know you. Right? There's bia. That's how Yibum is affected. The Shaila is, if you choose the Ma'amar route, have you fundamentally changed the mechanical construct of this union? Perhaps once you choose Ma'amar, what you are saying is, yes, it's still called, still under the umbrella of Yibum, but I am choosing to advance this relationship under the normative framework of marriage, still called Yibum. But now once I've chosen Ma'amar, then that means what? Then that means maybe it's Erisin, and then we're going to do Chuppah afterwards, Nisun, and we're going to get married like a regular couple. That's what they're asking. Does Ma'amar change the fundamental relationship framework? And therefore, it's still called Yibum, but it's a Yibum governed by the normative steps of halachic marriage, or no, you could do Ma'amar, very nice, but Lamaisa, it's still Yibum, and Ma'amar is just an extra step you inserted there, but there's no Chuppah, all there is Bia. So the Gemara says, Ma'amar, what's the halacha? Tashma, Shomeres Yavam. If a woman is waiting for Yibum, Ben Yavam Echa Ben Shnei Yavmin, whether there is one surviving brother or whether there ultimately is two surviving brothers, what is the halacha? Rabbi Lazar Omer Yofer. Rabbi Lazar, now the Gemara is asking over here Lemaisa about Hataras Nedarim or Hafaras Nedarim. Let's say a woman makes a vow. And she's a Shomeres Yavam. She's waiting for Yibum. She wants to revoke the vow. Who has the power? I should say not she wants to. She could revoke the vow if she wants. But who else has the power of revocation over her vows? So Rabbi Elazar says Yofer. Rashi says, first white line in Rashi, Yofer, Echad Mehenes Nidra. Either one of the surviving brothers, meaning either one of the potential Yavams, has the ability to go ahead and annul her vow. Rabbi Yeshua says, Le'echad V'lo L'shnayim. Rabbi Yeshua says, no, it's not true. Rashi says, Le'echad V'lo L'shnayim. Shomeres Yavam Echad Yofer. Aval Shomeres Lo B'Shtei Yavam Lo Yofer Lo Zeh Lo Zeh. So we'll say, remember, according to Rabbi Elazar, either one of the two brothers has the ability to annul her vow. According to Rabbi Yeshua, it's not true. If there's one Yavam, he could annul her vow. If there are two Yavmin, two surviving brothers, Rabbi Yeshua says, neither can revoke her vow. Why? Because we'll say, interestingly enough, both of them have a connection to her, but what? It's not clear ultimately who has the enduring connection to her. Rabbi Akiva says, Lo le'echar v'lo le'shnayim. Rabbi Akiva says, no. The truth is, whether there's one Yavam or two Yavams, none of them have the ability to revoke her vows. Gemara says, let's analyze this. Vavinaba, we analyze this. Bishlam Rabbi Akiva Savar, Ein Zeka, Afil Lechad. Rabbi Akiva's sheet is clear. Rabbi Akiva holds, Ein Zeka. There's no marital connection between the widow and the surviving brothers of her husband until the point that one of them chooses to do Yibum. Because there's no marital connection, therefore what? Therefore Lamaisa, neither of them. We must remember again, the Havamina, that the Yavam has the power to revoke the vows of the Yavama, stems from what? Stems from the knowledge that they are her husband, quasi-husband. Rabbi Akiva says, there's no connection between this woman and any of these surviving brothers until one of them does Yibum. Therefore, none of them have the ability to revoke the vow. Okay. Rabbi Yeshua holds that Zeka only applies to one surviving brother, but Zeka does not apply where there are two surviving brothers. Okay, and therefore he'll hold if there's one surviving brother, he could annul the vows of the widow. But if there are two, because we don't know who's going to do Yibum, there is no Zeka that exists, and therefore the Maisa, no revocation. El Rabbi Elazar says, one second. Nihi nami dekas savar yesh Zeka. So according to Rabbi Elazar, who holds that there's Zeka, Bishlam lechad mefer. I understand why if there's one surviving brother, he would have the ability to be mefer. Ela l'trei amai. But Rabosai, again, the problem is to go ahead and say that lemaisa, that when there's two, they should be able to annul. We'll say, at most, if you're going to hold that when there are two surviving brothers, they should be able to annul, what should be the halacha? If they're going to annul, how should it be done? It should have to be both of them. because essentially they both stand in the place of the husband. They both have a zeka. So Rabbi Elazar makes it sound like that when there are two surviving brothers, either one of them has the ability to annul. But in reality, the Gemara says, if you want to say yesh zeka should say that the only way to annul is if both of them collaboratively decide to annul. So the Gemara says, el l'trei amai, v'amar avi ami, hacham asking, what's the case? Kigon da'avad ba ma'amar. Oh, what's the case over here? Says the Gemara, where one of them did ma'amar. Ube shamahi, da'amar ma'amar, kone kinyan gamar. Oh, what's the case, Rabbi Elazar? The case is where one of the surviving brothers did ma'amar. And what happens if you do ma'amar? Ma'amar is kone kinyan gamar. It affects full acquisition of the widow. Now, if you say that ma'amar mamish affects nisuin, Rabbi Elazar, remember again, everyone's going to agree that yibum is not going to be necessarily complete, perhaps until bia occurs. But if you hold that ma'amar affects kinyan gamar mamish like nisuin mishum hachi mefer, then I understand why the yavam has the ability to annul her vows. Remember, Rabbi Elazar, bless you, because you could only annul the vows of your wife if she's your wife from nisuin, not if she's your wife from erusin. Eli amrit erusin osa. But if you say that ma'amar only affects erusin, hechi masi mefer, how could the yavam go ahead and annul the vows? V'hatna, we learned, nara murasa. Rabbi Elazar, this is just a regular case, not yibum, no craziness over here. This is the regular girl who gets betrothed, right? There are still cases like that, right? A girl just chooses to get married. She's just getting married. Nara murasa. So what is that halacha? A girl, this is a nara. I'll use the case of nara, because remember, a nara is still somewhat under her father's shlita, her father's dominion. So what is that halacha? Aviya va'ba'ala mafir nidara. When she is in a state of erusin, what has to happen? In order to annul her vows, both her father and her chassan could annul them in a joint fashion. So what do you see from there? That before nisuin, a husband does not have the sole ability to revoke the vows of his wife. So both say, again, therefore, what do you see from here? You see from here that lemaisa, again, what? Lemaisa, again, it appears that ma'amar affects nisuin. If you're going to tell me that after the yavam does ma'amar with the yavama, he has the ability to annul her vows, that means ma'amar affects real full-fledged nisuin. Amrav Nachman bar Yitzchak, my mefer, what does it mean? What does it mean when it says that lamaisa he could annul it? Mefer b'shutfus. They'll say, maybe again when it says that the husband who did ma'amar has the ability to annul the vows, it doesn't mean by himself. It means what? It means with the father of the woman. Or in other words, what is that another way of saying? That maybe ma'amar only affects erusin and not nisun. And according to Rabbi Elazar, who said before, that according to Beis Shammai, ma'amar is only effective to go ahead and litchos, to go ahead and set aside the other co-wife, but not to fully go ahead and affect nisuin. Then ultimately, again, lemaisa, why should it even go ahead and allow for hafara, even with the partnership of the father? When do I say that ma'amar only has the ability to go ahead and, when do I say that ma'amar doesn't fully acquire the yavama for the yavam? That's only legabe the other woman. However, de lo sagila begita, because she's still going to require a get, ela bayna michalitza, la hafir nedara miyamina. Bosses, here's what's interesting. What the Gemara is suggesting over here is that lamaisa, maybe ma'amar works different ways for different circumstances. Ma'amar, when it comes towards the other wife who falls in yibum, so that only allows for what? That only allows to set aside a little bit, namely that lamaisa, again, you'll still have to do chalitza. Excuse me, I'm sorry. That you won't have to do chalitza with her, but you would still ultimately require a get with this woman, and it doesn't fully affect the marital bond. But perhaps for nidarim purposes, it does create a full-fledged marriage, and the yavam who does ma'amar with the woman would have the ability to annul her vows. V'bais, the other possibility is, Amar l'cha Rabbi Elazar, ul'rab nachan bar Yitzchak minecha, mi katani yifru, does it say they should annul the vows? Yifer katani, it says, l'maisa, he should annul the vows, which seems to indicate that the yavam who does ma'amar does have the full ability to revoke the vows. Elahach am I asking, or rather, what are we talking about over here? Sha'amda bidin, Upaskula mezonos mishal basa. Listen to this. What's the case? Look at Rashi. El hacham askin am sham de bedin ledidi afilu belo ma'amar ulav ami achar ma'amar velo rasa lichnos lo lifter. Basa. What's the case over here? The case over here that we're dealing with is where a woman takes the yavam to court. Why does the woman take the yavam to court? Because the yavam apparently is having difficulty making up his mind what he's going to do. So she says, "Come on, buddy, what's going on over here? Right? Either do yibum or do chalitza." So she brings him to Beis Din. And what happens over here? Sha'amdabadin, upaskala mizonos mishalo. And the Beis Din paskind that she has to be supported from his estate, the Yavam's estate. And also remember, this is interesting because normally the Yavam himself acquires the deceased brother's estate. In this case over here, Beis Din is ordering that the estate of the surviving brother has to support the widow. Look at Rashi. What happened? Paskala mizonos mishalo, kidisanya lekamon, Amod Bedin Ubarach. I will say the case over here, she brought him to Beis Din, and what did he do? He ran away, right? He fled the country. He fled, this must be one woman, right? He fled the country. He ran away. Right? You could say just do chalitza, right? So obviously, maybe he's afraid of her. He says, what happens? Amod Bedin Ubarach. So I will say, what is the halacha? Nizonis Mishal Yavam. The halacha is as a penalty. Beis Din goes ahead and orders, seizes his assets and supports this widow from his assets. So listen to this. So the Gemara is suggesting, what's the case over here? The case over here is not a Ma'amar case. The case over here is, she says to him, I'm thinking of Beis Din because you're totally undecisive. He says, fine. He never shows up. He runs away. Beis Din orders that what? That Lamaisa, she be supported from his estate. What is that halacha? Ukidra Pinchas Mishmei Derava. Domra Pinchas Mishmei Derava. Kol Hanoderes Al Das Baile Hinoderes. Well, so listen to this. In this particular case, where Lamaisa, he is supporting her. Everyone agrees that in a case like that, she becomes like her husband, and therefore, because he's supporting her, and therefore, Lamaisa, should she make a neder, he would have the power of revocation. Mm-hmm. So the Gemara is suggesting, in a Ma'amar case, that's going to be a machlokert. But in the case of where he's actively supporting her, that he will have the right to revoke her vows, because Lamaisa, his estate is supporting. So I'll say, before we stop, let me just tell you one last piece of halacha. So remember, we're going to pick up tomorrow with the Mishnah. How do we pass it in this particular case over here? So again, this is in Perek Zayin Halacha Vav. So in Perek Zayin, Perek Zayin Halacha Vav. So the Rambam says, Shlosha Achin Shemes. Because you must remember, we got into a couple of tangents in the sugi over here. But at the end of the day, one second, I'm sorry. Okay, so listen to this. So the Rambam paskins, Shlosha Achin Shemes Mehen, Shlosha Achin, Shnei Mehen Isun Shteachayos. So also remember, you have three brothers, it's case in Mishnah. Three brothers married to two of them married to sisters. And what happens? Shnei Mehen Isun Shteachayos, Mes Echon Mibale Achayos, Va'asa Shlishi Bi'evimto Ma'amar. So we'll say it's the case of the Mishnah. So remember, three brothers, Levi in the Mishnah is single. The Rambam doesn't codify that because it doesn't really matter. So brother number one dies, his widow falls to brother number three. Brother number three does ma'amar. Va'achar kach meis baal ha'achos hasheni. Then what happens? Brother number two dies. V'nafla ha'achos hashnia lifnei achashlishi. Now both say, so what happens now? Levi's done ma'amar with wife number one. And now again, brother number two dies. Widow number two falls before. Remember, what is widow number two? Widow number two is the sister of the woman with whom he did ma'amar. The shayla is, what should he do now? How did this Rama paskin? Hareze no sein get leba'alas ha-ma'amar v'chol itzla. The Rambam says he has to give a get to the woman with whom he did ma'amar and do chalitza with her. The chalitza achos achrona, and he does chalitza with wife number two, kedei latir lazar. Rabos, in other words, how does the Rama paskin? The Rama paskin's like Beis Hillel, not like Beis Shammai. Ma'amar does not affect erusin. It's not real erusin. It does not affect real kiddushin, real nisuin, and it does not even affect a marriage to the ability to be docha the other. So, what does ma'amar essentially do halachically?
Just shows a commitment.
Lemais again. I'll tell you what it is. Ma'amar. I'll tell you, it's interesting. Ma'amar today is pretty much like our present day engagement. When you get engaged to someone, what does that accomplish halachically? absolutely nothing. You've given a very expensive declaration of intent, right? You can just send an email also. Right? Just send an email. You don't need to get correct. Namidar, I say you don't need to get for ma'amar either. You don't need to get only with the rabbanim you need to get. So since you have ma'amar is as a declaration of intent, I hereby declare to God. And I will say, now you also understand, based on what we just learned, you understand now why a man would do ma'amar. Why would a man do ma'amar? Because if the widow's getting a little bit antsy, he's getting like, what's the story, buddy? You know, you're going to marry me, you're going to do chalitza. Make a choice. So again, ma'amar could be the way that the surviving brother would declare his intent to go ahead and do yibum, but perhaps he can't do it yet. Now, he might not be able to do yibum yet for a variety of reasons. First of all, the woman that he's not married to might need a little bit of the woman that he's already married to might need a little bit of coaxing. That we're going to get into this. It also might be that he also might need a little bit of intent to straighten out the finances of his deceased brother. So ma'amar might be the way that he might show the widow, I plan on marrying you, but just not yet. So therefore, we paskin, should the other brother die, should there be now an achos zikuka situation, should there be now an erva situation, ma'amar does not shield the first widow from the second widow coming in, and therefore lemaisa in a situation where two brothers died successively.
They all died successfully.
Right? Everybody's wonderful at dying. Everybody dies successfully. It's the one thing nobody messes up. Right? So again, lemaisa, in that case, according to Beis Hillel, you would have to give a get to the woman with whom you did ma'amar, and you'd have, and then chalitza with her as well, and then chalitza with the second woman. So essentially, when it comes to ma'amar, we pass like Beis Hillel and not like Beis Shammai.
And the woman could opt out if she wants to work together.